Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first Provcast of 2023. I hope everyone has had a good Christmas break. By popular request, I'm continuing to interview key people around college. And today I'm interviewing Alison Leslie, who is an important part of our really strong gardening and grounds team. Alison is particularly here to talk about something we're all interested in at Worcester, Worcester wildlife.
Yes.
You've made that a very particular
very
interest of yours.
Very close to my heart.
Yes. Alison, you've been with the college for how long?
16 and a half years. I joined in 2006, October 2006.
You were at Merton before that?
I was, yes.
And before you were at Merton, you had a life in the commercial sector.
I started from school in retail banking and then moved into the business and commercial centre in Marlow. I did also do a 4 or 5 year stint at Lloyds Bank in Carfax in Oxford as the senior cashier. So left in 2003 without a job. I knew that I wanted to change and I wanted my hobby, which was gardening, to become my career. I had gone part-time and gone to Berkshire College of Agriculture, doing the general certificate in horticulture. And then it still took a year to pluck up the courage to leave what I'd known since I left school. Like I said, March 2003, I left with no job. I don't know whether that was a foolish thing to do, but very grateful that Merton College gave me my first job in horticulture. But as soon as I'd seen Worcester College, I knew that's where I wanted to garden. You walk through the cloisters,
yeah,
and you see the front quadrangle, and it just grabs
stunning,
you, really.
Yeah.
So that's where I wanted to be.
And I think I know the answer to this, but you don't regret having left the financial sector?
No, not at all. No, it was the right time for me to leave.
Great. Well, I'm glad you made the decision to approach Worcester. I think we're the beneficiary of your real expertise, along with all the other great guys in the gardening team. Just by way of context, because what I've discovered from doing these provcasts is that there are lots of new students who find out about the college this way. We've got lots of members of staff who are obviously focused on their own things and are always very pleased to find out more about the college, its history, but also people who do things here, but also lots of old members who listen in as well. So to bring us right up to date, how big is our garden and grounds team?
We have 8 members of staff, varying in years of experience, from Callum, who is our youngest member with 10 to 12 years experience, I think, to Adrian Nash, who's been for over 40 years. Once we're here, we don't go. We just stay.
Well, I'm sure on behalf of everybody listening, we're hugely proud of the garden and grounds here at Worcester and hugely appreciative to all of you for the wonderful job that you all do. How wonderful it is to be in this beautiful college, but also a college that has such amazing gardens and grounds.
That's nice to hear. Thank you.
Your particular focus, obviously, I know, you know, you're an ace gardener. I can see you out of the lodgings windows doing, you know, lots of pruning and lots of gardening maintenance. But I also look out and I see you, particularly in the summer, looking at the wildlife.
Standing with my head. Looking up, probably.
Looking at the sky, but also, I know, because I've watched you, you know, looking in great detail at the ground.
Yes.
So tell us, you know, what was it that made you engage particularly with wildlife at Worcester?
Back in November 2013, I discovered a hole with quite a lot of soil that had been excavated. So I bought myself a camera and brought it in and set it up. And to my great excitement, I'm not sure about the head of gardens and grounds, when a black and white striped head poked its head out of the hole. And that then led to me filming the life of that badger. for the next 6 years. Quite an elderly badger, a one-eyed badger.
Right.
We could see on the camera that one eye was glowing and the other one wasn't. So we always knew that it was the same badger. And it just led me down to the world of trail cameras. Yeah. At one point, I've had around six cameras around the college filming the badger's life, the pair of deer that turned up in 2018, watching them chasing each other at the bottom of the Provost Garden, watching the foxes. We've had a breeding pair of foxes here for quite some time, in the long grass in the Provost Meadow, watching them learn to hunt, and just following various wildlife. It's knowing the signs. It's taught me to look further than, it's taught me to look beyond what's right in front of me. It's looking for small signs, even small signs like otter spraint that you suddenly notice on the edge of the lake. And you think, well, there's got to be an otter coming in somewhere.
So you've learned to look really carefully.
Yes.
And presumably slowly.
Yes.
At what the rest of us, when we're walking around
the
lake,
look at.
Tend to ignore.
Yes. And listen as well. Okay. It's also listening. I always say that most of us will just look, but you need to listen and look up as well instead of looking forward. You know, if you look in the middle of May, 5th to the 11th of May, listen to the little screeching that will suddenly start happening in the sky above. That's the swifts have come back to Oxford. And to me, that's summer starting. If you listen in March, the middle of March, the little chiff-chaff song that will suddenly start, that's the sign of spring for me. But if you're not listening, you won't know that it's there. Simon bought me a book for Christmas one year called Bird Watching with Your Eyes Closed. If you learn a song, two or three songs a week of the birds, like the kingfisher, you'll hear it first. But if you don't know what it sounds like, you won't look for it. But if you suddenly hear and know the kingfisher sound as you walk past the lake, look low and you'll see it flash across the bottom, very, very low, right low. Over the lake before you see it.
So you've learnt all this by looking, listening, and being interested.
Yes.
And the rest of us can actually acquire those skills too.
Yes, very, very simple. As I say, just learn a few bird songs and all of a sudden you'll just hear a whole other world will open up. Close your eyes and you'll hear a missel thrush, a song thrush, the jay, the kingfisher, the great spotted woodpecker will be singing at the top of the tree. You know, if you learn that nuthatch sound, for me it sounds like if you've left a tap on with a slight drip, you'll hear a little drip, drip. If you learn it, just you'll spot so much more than you would normally, you would not see.
No, you're absolutely right. And at a time when we're all being encouraged to be mindful, this is a fantastic way.
It is great for your mental health, and it's for my mental health as well to just take a few minutes and listen.
So I hope everybody who walks around the lake on a regular basis, and I know most of us do that, just take Alison's advice and slow down and close your eyes and listen. Now, it does sound like there are lots of different species of birds. You've already name checked a few. How many? I know you've done a bit of an audit, haven't you, Alison?
Yes.
How many species are there?
I've now recorded 65.
Wow.
Not all of them are here all the time. The latest one that we had was a mandarin duck that was spotted on the lake back in October. Even a little egret was first seen in February last year. I only record them as of being in the college if they land.
Right.
So for years, I've been waiting for the red kite to land so I can tick it on my list.
So the red kite
has landed.
Oh, it has landed.
It did land. They started building a nest in one of the trees in 2021. They abandoned it, but they did start.
Okay.
So that is a tick.
And I know you've made a particular study of the swans. We're all sad when the Swans leave us and then delighted when they come back.
Yeah.
You've been looking at them for how many years?
Since 2012, they first started building their nest here. And for 5 years, they would lay their eggs and everybody be waiting 42 days from when the last one was laid and nothing ever happened. And it was, why? Why is there nothing happening?
So they didn't hatch at all?
Never hatched.
Oh, right.
And it wasn't until one of the swans got ill and we had to call Tiggy Winkles out to collect it.
Oh, yeah.
And we found out that they were two females.
Oh, right.
Yes. And we were never going to get any eggs hatched.
Okay.
They went through the laying, the incubating, but no hatching.
Right.
And it wasn't until that one female died, but another swan turned up, paired with the one that was left. And the following year, eggs.
Eggs hatched.
And hatching.
Right.
And we've been having hatching eggs ever since.
Now that they're hatching, we're obviously contributing to the swan population in and around Port Meadow and the canal and so forth. But sometimes they don't all survive, do they?
No. But 2021 was a bit of a disastrous year. They made their nest right next to the Sainsbury platform. We had a pair of the foxes, had five cubs that year under the tea shed of the gardens and grounds team, which was wonderful to watch. Mum would come out, call out the cubs, and they'd be quite happy to suckle Mum right in front of the garden team.
Okay.
It was wonderful to see. But with that, you have five hungry cubs.
Yeah.
And just as the swans' eggs were hatching, the foxes raided the nest. So last year, the male swan started building that nest back up again, and the female didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Did not want to go near that nest. So after he'd finished that nest, he built her another one, which she wanted,
which
is a bit further round. And last year, three had hatched. And between days 10 and 16, she always takes them off the lake and marches them off to the canal. And we don't see them again. Occasionally, we might get one visit.
But the cygnets never come back.
We do have an odd one or two single birds that come back.
Oh, right.
And I like to think that it might be one of the cygnets that come back. The male swan won't have anything to do with it. Chases them off.
Right.
It's his lake.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mum and Dad will take their cygnets away, rear them on the canal or the river, and then they will come back. Mum and Dad will come back, usually around December time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the whole process starts again.
How long do the swans live?
I believe if they're quite well fed, I think it's between 15 years, maybe slightly more. If it is the same female, she's had three partners. The first one was the female swan that died. The second one we called Chris because he crash landed outside the front of the college. And he went off with her with the cygnets, but he never came back. And
she
then we've
Chris.
Got she dumped Chris. And now we've got Graham. We've called him, I don't know whether it's after one of the gardeners or we just called him Graham Swan after the cricketer.
Yeah.
And we know it's him because he'll hiss at you when you go near him. So we think if it's the same female, she's on her third partner.
Good for her. A big theme, particularly from students, but also staff and fellows, is about how we make Worcester, you know, much more sustainable. How do you think we could make everything we do, you know, more sustainable, particularly in relation to wildlife?
We have started to create more wildlife meadows. So we've reduced areas of mowing. We do take part in the Plant Life No Mow May campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So the orchard, it's mowed in around September, October time. But it won't be mowed this year again until September, October time. And that's been going on possibly before I came. So it doesn't have any fertiliser put on it.
No.
And it's just left to its own devices.
And that means that we have all sorts of
we have lots of butterflies, butterflies, moths. You can go and stand in there. This last summer, you could stand in that orchard And if you close your eyes, you'll hear the crickets. And I can find that quite soothing, actually, listening to the crickets.
Yeah. You were also showing me some quite rare orchids.
Yes.
That
So in the
that's
orchard,
a particular achievement, isn't it?
It's in the orchard. Last year we had 10 pyramidal orchids, and the year before that was 7, and the before that none. So where it's not being mowed and not being enriched, gradually the wild flowers are coming back. And the provost, the top of your garden, is now an area of long grass. And that hasn't been going quite as long. But bee orchids last year suddenly appeared. Whether they've come in on some mowings that we've bought in from outside that had orchid seed, or they've just laid dormant.
Yeah.
But now we're leaving it long.
And
up they've come. And with your bees at the bottom of the garden.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the bees. Obviously, that's a more artificial arrival process than what you were talking about. But I was really keen to bring the bees in.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite believe that Worcester had never really had bees in the past. And they have flourished, haven't they? Have they been a good addition to the
ecosystem?
Well,
they have, because if you walk along the main border by the Nuffield lawn and you walk past the catmint, Nepeta, it's covered in honeybees.
Yeah.
They love your honeybees, I think, have found that Nepeta, and that's what they're feeding on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so much we've planted daffodil called Minnow towards your bees, because they're quite an early flowering, high nectar daffodil. So it's encouraging us to plant more plants for the bees.
Great.
So that when we're looking for certain plants now, is this good for bees? So that's always kind of in our mind. Not just for the honeybees, the bumblebees, and for the solitary bees that we've got going around the college.
I do have some sad news about my bees, because we checked them at the weekend, and the very cold spell and then the warm spell and now this very, very cold spell means that two of our colonies have died.
No.
So we lulled them into a false, or the weather lulled them into a false sense of security.
It's time to wake up.
So when we checked at the weekend, one certainly, our strongest, looks like it didn't survive.
Oh.
And the other one, we couldn't quite tell, but we probably lost two colonies. So we're going to have to start with some new colonies in May when things warm up. But rest assured that
we will do our
best to bring in new colonies. But we were all rather devastated that we lost two.
Well, I saw our first queen bumblebee out yesterday feeding on the Mahonia.
Right.
So she's obviously come out for a bit of a feed.
Yeah.
Just hoping she goes back into her burrow again.
So there are lots of great things that we're doing, not only to introduce more wildlife into Worcester, but also to encourage the wildlife that's here to flourish and plants that have been laying dormant to flourish. Is there anything else that you'd love to do?
Well, we're creating dead hedges at the moment. We put stakes and we fill up between the two stakes. We've got two rows, and then we just fill it full of, if we've had a big storm, we've collected all the wood debris off the lawns, we fill it full of that. Apple tree cuttings, any woody material, anything that we can't put through our chipper. So a lot of the wisteria, we've got 8 or 9 wisteria around the college that is too twisty to go through our chipper. It's all filled into these hedges. So it's full of dead material, which provides shelter during the winter. We've now got 2 dead hedges set up around the college, with plans to do another 2 or 3 around the college. And it's just, with us saying earlier that within 20 minutes of us finishing that first one, a wren and a robin were already going in and out of the dead hedges. Now, over time, the insect population and the little microorganisms will be in there, and it's just going to provide shelter and more food for wildlife, particularly the birds.
Great. And just for people who are interested to go and look, I know one dead hedge is behind the tennis courts.
It is, yes.
There's another one.
And there's another one over by near the Limbury.
Near the
Limbury. Walk past the Limbury, but go towards our tool sheds. by our compost heaps. There's another very short one, but it's already packed. The the plant support baskets that we make, you'll see us creating in April time, which is from the silver birch trees that we go and coppice from the Harcourt Arboretum. They're only good for one season, so one summer. So when we clear the big flower border and cut it down, all those silver birch baskets are pulled out, and they would have gone through the chipper. They've now been broken up and put into the dead hedge. So they've gone from the Harcourt Arboretum to our dead hedge. So they're being reused
via
the herbaceous border.
Great. Now, Alison, you've made the decision recently to cut down your number of days.
Yeah.
So sadly, we're getting less of you in college, but hopefully we're going to be getting an apprentice to make up your absence. But you're doing something very exciting, which really just expands on your commitment to wildlife and the wildlife adventure. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, since the beginning of December last year, I've now go every Friday to help out as a volunteer at the Tiggy Winkles Wildlife Rescue Centre, which is quite close to where I live. Yeah, and it's all down to that black and white nose that came out of that hole back in 2013 that just started me on this road wildlife.
And Tiggy Winkles, from what you were saying earlier on, isn't just hedgehogs.
No, it's British wildlife.
Yeah.
It's always different.
Great. Well, Alison, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, as I said right at the start, for everything you and the team do to look after, but also to generate, you know, the wonderful new initiatives that are part of long-term gardening and make Worcester so special. We really appreciate everything that you do, but I think today's conversation gives us an insight into some of the less obvious and visible things. And certainly the lesson, having talked to you today, for me, is to slow down, look more carefully, but most importantly, listen.
Listen.
Alison, thank you. Thank you to all of you who've been listening in. I'm going to be interviewing the Dean team next week, so I look forward to meeting up with them to find out what they do in relation to welfare support in college. Please do listen to future provcasts. Give me any feedback in relation to anything we've covered or anything you'd like me to cover, particularly who you'd like me to interview. Alison.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.